It's no secret. People in Fairfield are livid right now over the speed cameras in town. Tickets are now in effect after those cameras rolled out last month. But Fairfield's not the only community. Milford recently rolled out its cameras. They're in a warning period right now. Greenwich is actually at a pause right now for its camera program. And so we thought it was a good time to have Josh Morgan back with us from the Department of Transportation, not only to talk about this, but also news in regards to cameras on our highways coming. So Josh, welcome back to the show. How are you?
Good morning, Melissa. I'm great. How are you?
I am good. I got to put you in the hot seat a little bit, Josh. You know I adore you.
Okay.
But we got some mad people here. So I want to, and here's the thing. I want to talk about a couple of different things that I think really is more of an open discussion. But I've been very clear with people. In fact, even replaying some of our past conversations, Josh, this is not an overnight process, right? I mean, let's start with that, because in Fairfield, a lot of people feel like they were almost duped. Like this idea of, wait a minute, the cameras are here. They had almost, more than 100,000 warnings submitted in the 1 month warning period. The police are projecting $3.2 million the first month of ticketing, the month of June. People are not happy. So I want to talk about this a little bit. And just the process of, first of all, getting these cameras approved, and did it also include public input before getting approval from the DOT?
Absolutely. So this is a program which was approved, more than a year ago, almost 2 years ago. And the way the state legislation was written is that it was an opt-in for Connecticut's towns and cities. So it wasn't a statewide mandate. There were individual choices left to these communities like Fairfield or Milford. And there is a long process in place because we know that this technology needs to be used appropriately and in limited areas where it can have the greatest impact for public safety. So a town would need to first, the legislative body would need to craft its own local ordinance allowing the use of the cameras. They need to hold a public hearing. The legislative body would then have to vote in favor of adopting the technology. And then that plan gets submitted to CONDOT, and our traffic engineers and experts review that to make sure that the data is sound, that the analysis provided meets the letter of the law, and then that gets approved. And then after, or it gets sent back with feedback, questions, comments, asking for revisions, which we've done in the past as well. But once the state approves the plan, the municipality can bring on a vendor, and then they can go and install the signs and install the technology. So this is not something that happens in 24 hours. It takes months and months of time and review and analysis, and there is all, as part of the law, opportunity for the public to go to the hearing, to let their voice be heard, to give feedback. But now once they're out in the community and people start getting warnings in the mail, I think they're starting to realize that maybe the cameras are active now. But I think, you know, when we see the data, when you read the news stories about Fairfield, about some of the other communities, I think it just really paints a picture of how prevalent and how widespread speeding is. Whether it's on a main street or in a school zone, people are just driving way, way too fast.
Now, it's interesting you say that, though, Josh. So the DOT essentially has to approve having, just to keep it layman's terms, you have to approve where the cameras go in that town or city, correct? That's really where the DOT comes in. You know, is there enough, you know, data, concrete evidence that you need to put a camera in this school zone or at that street, right? That's really your job. But as far as who is the program through, what speed camera program you want to use, that's a municipality decision. That's not the DOT.
Yep, absolutely. DOT is making sure that the technology is placed in areas that is backed up by the data that's supplied by local police, the Connecticut Crash Data Repository. But in terms of who the vendor is, what that contract is, what specific type of camera is being used, that's all up to the individual municipality.
Okay, and the reason I say that is because that's what it sounds like is the problem in Greenwich. When I look at right now, so they're supposed to have this big meeting on June 8th, and what they're looking at is they're saying, consider voting no to the town of Greenwich submitting an automated traffic enforcement safety device plan checklist for submission. And what they're looking at is they want the opportunity to give input and craft a better safety plan that conforms with state statute and all that. But they're looking at this, I guess, blue line solutions, which that's what they keep referring back to. So that has nothing to do with you guys. That is a municipality choice, just so that I'm getting this clear.
That's correct. Yeah, no, the state does not have a preferred vendor list or says that you have to hire this company or that company. Our role is to look at the plans, make sure that it meets the state legislation, make sure that the data is sound, but the individual vendors are hired by each town.
Okay. So I just wanted to differentiate that because I know when Fairfields came up, that's a totally separate thing. But with Greenwich, when they paused theirs, you know, so you never know like why people want to pause. And I know there was a call to action to pause, ironically, from Senator Huang, who I know you worked very closely with to pass this law back in 2023. He wanted to pause Fairfields. Different reason, though. He wanted to pause it because he felt like people really didn't know it was happening and they didn't realize that this, you know, all the speed enforcement and everything. Greenwich, though, it sounds like they're upset because they didn't get the input to who they were contracting with to do the camera program, but not the idea of we don't want speed cameras. This is separate from the DOT. So I wanted to just differentiate that.
Yep.
So thank you. That was my first thing. Let's go to Fairfield now. So interestingly enough, and I don't know if this is part of the DOT Vision Zero plan, but the cameras are going to be active 24/7, 365. Doesn't matter if it's summertime, school's out of session, nothing. They're going to ticket people any hour of the day, any month of the year. And they have this speed limit drop 2 hours a day because they're in school zones, even when school is out of session. Is that a DOT thing? Is that part of the law? Or is that also a municipality? Like, is that a police and municipality decision?
So DOT, our Office of State Traffic Administration, has to approve where school zones are. It's actually, if you build a school, that does not automatically make that neighborhood a school zone. There's actually legislation and statute that the OSTA, Office of State Traffic Administration, has to approve. I believe in Fairfield, even though the enforcement is 24/7, that the speed enforcement threshold changes depending on if school is in session or not. But
I don't think Josh. Just so you know, only because I looked that up actually ahead of our chat. I don't think so. According to the Fairfield website, they are going to keep the cameras 24/7. Like, they're not changing them at all. They're not adjusting them for summer. They're not adjusting even that drop. That's why I kind of wanted to know if that's a DOT thing. Like, do you guys require during the school rush hours for them to drop the speed limit, or is that a municipality decision?
Yeah, I don't want to speak out of turn, so I'll have to I'll double check that. As soon as we hang up, but you know, I'll text you so you can report back to your listeners before you get off air today.
Josh Morgan is here from the Department of Transportation. We're talking about speed cameras. Residents in Fairfield in particular feel like the change kind of came out of nowhere last month, and now ticketing is in effect. And there are questions about the speed limits, Josh. So going back to Fairfield, I have the town website up right now. And this was actually news to me because I got to be honest, my parents have even gotten warnings and I would hardly call them speed demons. But they got warnings and I realized, I think, why. So some of these school zones in Fairfield, and again, I don't know if this is a DOT thing or if this is a Fairfield decision, but they have put into place reduced speed limit time. So if you've got a school that's got a 25 mile an hour zone, they're dropping it in that rush hour in the morning and the rush hour in the afternoon for drop off and pickup. They're dropping it to a universal 20 mile an hour. And so if anybody's going 11 miles or more over 20 miles an hour, you're going to get a ticket. And I don't know if people realize that. The signs obviously show you, hey, we've got these cameras, they're in effect, the enforcement is there. But I don't even know if people in Fairfield realize there are 2 hours a day that if you pass these cameras, the miles actually, they drop 5 to 10 miles an hour. I don't know. Again, I don't know if that was a municipality decision or if that's a DOT thing. But I want to say that is really where people are really getting ticketed. My question is, Josh, do you think that the speed limits posted right now are too low?
in terms of like the 20 miles an hour or 30 miles an hour near a school or
where these places are. And again, I understand they're school zones, but you're talking about let's take this is the one that I feel like everybody's getting caught on. Knapp's Highway, Melville Avenue, that's near Fairfield Ward. So that's, I think that's multiple cameras, but near Fairfield Ward. That's a 25 mile an hour zone. Part of that is going uphill. And I don't know if you feel like 25 miles an hour is really logical. Is that archaic, or do you feel like that's a good speed limit in a school zone?
Yeah, I mean, the data is pretty clear that the rate of someone getting seriously injured or killed at 20 miles an hour is far less likely than at 40 miles an hour. Obviously, the faster someone is traveling, the more horrific and catastrophic that crash would be, especially now with electric vehicles, which are so incredibly heavy, SUVs and trucks, which are bigger than they've ever been before, that when a car hits a person, hits someone walking, hits someone riding their bike, if they are going more than 30, 35 miles an hour, the likelihood of a serious injury or fatality is so much greater than if they were driving 20 or 25 miles an hour. So there is data that backs that up. I'm not familiar with all of Fairfield schools, what the roadway infrastructure is, but I would say that the data is very clear, and it makes sense. The faster you're going, the more dangerous and more deadly that crash would be against a pedestrian or a bicyclist.
So I apologize to kind of beat a dead horse here, Josh, but I just want to make sure. So the decision to reduce the speed to 20 miles an hour for the morning rush and the afternoon rush, that is not a DOT decision. That's a municipality decision.
I'll double check that for you, Melissa, because
okay.
I know OSTA approves all speed limits in Connecticut, even if it's a local road. But I'll double check that for you. I don't want to speak out of turn.
No, I appreciate that. As far as the cameras running 24/7, 365. So in Fairfield, again, it says even in the summer months, we are going to keep camera enforcement consistent. So they are going to keep it the same. They're also going to keep that drop to 20 miles an hour for the morning and afternoon rush so people are consistent. Is that a municipality decision or is that a DOT decision?
That would be a municipality decision on how the program is being operated.
Okay. As far as where the money goes, is that also a municipality decision or is that something that's under the law? So like I said, I think part of the reason that Fairfield residents are so upset is that when you project more than $3 million in the first month of ticketing, they want to know where that's going. And it's kind of this blanketed, well, it's going to go back to traffic enforcement and road safety. But what exactly does that kind of mean? Is that in the law? Is that something that DOT approves, or is that also a municipality decision where that money goes?
So it's a little bit of both.
Okay.
So the way the law works is that the money does have to be reinvested into the community for traffic safety improvements. That's sort of a big, broad term, which is sort of then left up to the municipality about how that's implemented. Is it increased traffic enforcement? Is it building bike lanes, new sidewalks, upgrading pedestrian crossing infrastructure? Because it was important to have it reinvested in ways to improve safety, because that's the name of the game for this program. It's to improve safety. It's to save lives. So that money that is generated, and it's not just Fairfield, it's any of these plans around the state of Connecticut, it cannot be used to fix the boiler at City Hall. It can't be used to build a new baseball field in town. It really has to be reinvested back into safety improvements to benefit the community. But ultimately, where that is and what that is up to the individual town or city.
Okay, so that is something that would need still approval by like a board of selectmen or board of finance. You would need to get municipal approval. But then if you say, okay, we're going to use the $3 million to, I don't know, I'm just making something up. We're going to put more sidewalks in this section of Fairfield. That needs to get municipal approval, but it also has to fall under the guidelines of what would be considered okay under DOT jurisdiction, it sounds like.
Yep, that's correct. So whatever the legislative process is about how they allocate funds, how they decide projects, how they vote on them or approve them, that's all handled at the local level. It just makes, you know, we have to make sure that it's not going to the HVAC system or a new boiler or anything like that. It really has to be for traffic safety improvements.
This sounds like a witch hunt question, Josh, but how do you make sure that the money is actually going? Because my understanding, one of the reasons, at least this is what I was told by Senator Huang when he came on our show last week trying to pause the program in Fairfield, was that he wanted to pause it because this money being projected, $3.2 million, he said was going to be used for the town budget. And I said, well, that's really foolish, because if that's the case, that's not money that could be consistent. What you're saying is, if you want to make, let's say, a safety improvement, for example, sidewalks, it's not like you're going to continue paying for the sidewalks. You pay for them one time, they're there, and that's what you do. Could that be possible? Like, who would provide oversight to make sure that this money is, in fact, being used for safety improvements?
Sure. We're obviously keeping an eye on it at the state level, but we also trust and believe in our local leaders that, you know, if there is $1 million in revenue, that's not going to the general fund, that it won't be used for a tax rebate. It won't be used for a new roof on a school, that it really is going to be reinvested back in the community. Because I think the communities that are adopting this technology, are investing in their community, see the issue, see what's happening, see how fast people are driving, see how dangerous drivers have become on Connecticut roadways, and trying to use every tool available to keep people safe, to keep our kids safe, to keep our communities safe. So it's something that we're going to keep an eye on. And again, the legislation was written specifically to avoid that, because, you know, we hear it, we see the comments, we get the calls also at the state that people think it's just another tax, or it's another way to pad the state's budgets. And that's just simply not true. And that's why the legislation was written in the way it was written, with some of these guide rails in place to monitor the program. And again, you know, it's important to remember, too, that these are not set it and forget it. We never look at them. We never talk to the towns again. It's a 3-year period. After 3 years, the program sunsets. If they want to continue it, even if they don't move a single camera and they want to keep them in the same locations, they have to back up the application again with more data. Did this reduce speeds? Did this reduce crashes? Did this reduce injuries? And the state would have to approve it again. And if a town wants to maybe remove a camera, move it to a different place, add a camera, another approval process starts over. So, you know, because I see a lot of comments, we hear a lot of questions about whether they put up 3 now, or they put up 6 now, and then next week it's going to be 10 or it's going to be 12. And that's just not true. There is a lot of oversight on this program, a lot of review on this program, because we know people will have concerns, and we want to make sure that we're being transparent, that we're being open and honest with what we believe the benefits of this technology are. And I think the data is, you know, pretty clear once program starts. We've seen it out of Middletown. We've seen it out of some other communities, that first month or two, there is a lot of warnings. There is there are a lot of citations being issued out of this program, but then it drops because driver behavior is changing, and they know that they don't want to have to pay another $75 citation.
Right.
And they're slowing down, and driver behavior is changing. So it's interesting to see how the program evolves over the coming weeks and coming months and what the data is showing.
Do you worry, though, Josh, this will be my last question because I know we're running out of time, but this is even a concern I have here in Milford, because I saw it in the first week of the warning period for Milford, and I live in Milford. Where you have cameras, the overflow of traffic now going to non-camera streets. So we live on a cut-through, and let me tell you, it has been a different cut through street than it has ever been. And we've lived in this house for 7 years because people are avoiding the camera. That's 2 streets over from us. And do you worry about that?
I'm worried about what it says about us as a people, that it's so important to us that we have to drive 50 miles an hour through a neighborhood, through a school zone, that we are going to cut through someone else's neighborhood so we can keep up that same speed. And all for what? To get to our work, our appointment, 2 minutes earlier. You know, it's better to get there a couple minutes late and alive than get there after you've you know, been arrested because you've hit and killed somebody. People need to understand that there's a responsibility every time you get in your car, get behind the wheel, that you should follow the speed limit. You must put your phone down. You have to pay attention behind the wheel. And as we were talking, Melissa, again, I'll reinforce the stats. This is from the U.S. Department of Transportation. If someone is hit by a vehicle traveling 23 miles an hour, there's a 10% likelihood that that person will die. At 42 miles an hour, it's a 50% risk of death. At 50 miles an hour, 75% risk of death. So again, the faster someone is going, and if they hit somebody, the more likely that person will die. Please slow down, put your phones down, pay attention. And the best way to avoid getting a citation in a DOT work zone or one of these municipal speed camera areas is just to follow the speed limit. You can't say it any more simply than that.
Josh Morgan, Department of Transportation, really appreciate the conversation. I'm sure we are not done talking about speed cameras in the near future, so I'm sure we'll talk again very soon. Thank you so much.